This is the MLW Radio Network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. And looking outside, it may actually be halftime heat because it's a warm day here in Germany. It's about, I think, 85 degrees on the Fahrenheit scale. We're back here with another show. Dylan, how are things in good old Tennessee?
Striga, it's great to be back. And it's a funny thing, too, because of how our recording schedule works. I was so dead tired, like 20 minutes before we did the show, but somehow my energy has just raised up doing the show. My anticipation has mounted, and I'm so ready to go. I'm thinking about all the wrestling we've been watching lately, and specifically myself. It's because so much has been going on in the world of wrestling lately. So I've been thinking about it all, and I can't wait to do this show. And like you said, it's halftime heat. I am very familiar with halftimes. Anyone with sporting events, does the Champions League, they have halftime, right? At the 45-minute mark.
Exactly.
In the Premier, yeah. So they play by those rules, so that's good. And much like them, much like Liverpool and Real Madrid, we are at halftime right now.
Yes, exactly. We're at halftime right through the Best of the Super Junior, the 25th annual Best of the Super Junior tournament. Right now, 7 shows down. Actually, as we are recording this, the 7th show is happening right now. We have seen 6 shows so far. Well, actually, we had 3 live shows, and then the other ones were on-demand shows carried over later on New Japan World. And we only saw the tournament matches, but that's really the most important part of this tournament, the tournament matches, of course. So it's the halftime show for New Japan and their Best of the Super Junior, and we wanted to talk about some other topics as well, but as you just mentioned, there are so many topics that we're going to try out something different this week due to many reasons. Actually, one of them was that we had to reschedule our recording, and the other reason is that there is just so much stuff to talk about. So before we get into the Best of the Super Junior, on May 23rd, the new New Japan president was officially introduced into his new office role in the company, and his name is Harold May, and he is a Dutchman, actually, who has been living in Japan since, I think, 1978. He has been working for companies like Heineken Japan, like Coca-Cola, and most notably for a toy company that has been producing these bears that you have seen at New Japan shows over the last couple of years, those Naito Okada bears. And this guy, Harold George May, has turned around the business for this company from a company that has been losing money to a profitable company. And now he has been appointed the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling as a foreigner, but as someone who is fluent in Japanese. What was your first opinion on this when you saw the news of a foreigner being president of a Japanese wrestling company?
That in and of itself, it was a big surprise to me, because that's just something I'm not used to when it comes to Japanese pro wrestling, and particularly New Japan. You think of all the days Inoki and his crew were running things, and obviously now with Bushiroad's time, I really wasn't expecting it. I know in my brief dealings with Japanese business, it's such a kind of, I don't even want to say foreign world, because that sounds kind of cheesy or passé maybe, but I always thought it was very insular, that, you know, it's very, It's its own bubble, so to speak. And so I was really surprised to see this guy, this Dutchman, come in. But when you look at his resume, it looks really impressive from everything I've seen. I was reading how this guy, he doesn't just know Japanese. He knows like 19 different languages. You know, I mean, how do you even have time to learn that and be a successful businessman?
I wonder. That must be a 24/7 job, I guess.
Yeah, I know. He probably was for back in whenever he learned these. But he seemed like a really smart guy. He had some good ideas. He seemed to know a bit about the actual product of wrestling, too. And yes. he mentioned it. So I was excited about that.
From everything I read is that he is a wrestling fan himself. And he approached New Japan with the idea of these... Of these stuffed wrestlers they sell now. So as you mentioned, his ideas. I wanna quote something here from the press conference he did with Takaki Kidani. He said, "This is a quote: the quality of New Japan Pro Wrestling exceeds the world's largest professional wrestling organization WWE. It is high and has drama. It is natural drama. The athletes are all handsome." And they have a lot of charm to stick to various genders and age groups. And there is still insufficient publicity and accessibility to arouse. So he basically says that New Japan still has to create more revenue and has to cater to more fans, both in Japan and around the world, he says, because he says that for July 2018, New Japan sales forecast lies at about 4.6 billion yen. But he says WWE has 20 times that. And so he also mentioned the Sumo Association. And he says the Sumo Association is grossing like 12 billion yen a year. And he says that New Japan has to do the same domestically, or at least 10 billion yen. So he really wants to create new revenue streams. He wants to generate more fan interest, and he also wants to compete with WWE. What do you think about these steps he's trying to take?
I think it'll be a long process to get there. If those are his goals, because in the places he comes from, he's clearly a very smart businessman, very smart person in life. And coming into this world of wrestling, it's a bit of a different ball game when it comes to wrestling compared to other forms of entertainment, other companies in business, and just in general. So to accomplish those things he's speaking of, to take on or at least be comparable to the Sumo Association as well as WWE, those have the advantage of being institutions. You know, it's not just about moves they make or things they do. They have that, you know, inset bonus almost of already being like that. And New Japan is not that. It's obviously very successful, very successful right now, but I think compared to that, they have a long way to go, so he needs to be patient if those are his goals, and I think those are great goals to have. I like him saying that more than saying, well, you know, we're fine just being how we are. I like that he has growth on his mind. I think that's a great attitude to have for a president, but realistically, he needs to be patient and not get frustrated if those things don't come true right away in the next year or five.
Yeah. I think he laid out a 3-year plan for reaching that goal. That would mean that they have to more than double their business within the span of 3 years. And I think with the current way New Japan is being promoted in Japan, it's quite difficult, but not impossible. Some people interpreted his words as if he is looking the worldwide scale more than he's looking at the Japanese side. But I think with him comparing New Japan to the Sumo Association, he really thinks he has to take some steps domestically first. And first and foremost is giving New Japan a better spot on television. On a big network like TV Asahi, they need a better TV spot. And another step that has been taken already in recent time is that, for example, I saw a trailer with Hiroshi Tanahashi. He's appearing in a movie in Japan. Movie is called, I think, My Dad is a Heel Wrestler. So more and more New Japan stars are being placed in television series on TV in different products, like Togi Makabe has been for years, and like Tanahashi now in a movie. So that's a good step, but I think they do need a bigger, they need more eyes on their product, and through Japanese network television they can reach that goal, I think.
I think that would be great. And wrestling, even at its most popular, has always had a bit of a struggle on Japanese TV.
Yeah.
So that's a great goal to have. If they could accomplish that, I think that would be a really big step. But it's always been a bit of a struggle. Like I said, they've had specials more or less. I remember Noah.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of specials on prime time, and it was that kind of thing, like the Misawa Kawada match. And actually, they actually almost went over and got it, and Kawada got in big trouble because he cut an unscheduled promo. So hopefully they have everything intact when it comes to New Japan right now. They have all their ducks in a row, so to speak. If they could get on more of a palatable slot, because right now they're in the graveyard slot,
yeah.
Unfortunately. And that's where wrestling has traditionally been for a long time now. So I think that's a very ambitious goal, and hopefully they can get it. I don't know the inner workings of the Japanese television executives, but I hope that they're more open-minded to this, much like we're seeing in America when it comes to primetime television.
Yep.
And WWE with their news. So hopefully, for a long time, I thought something like that would be impossible. It would be almost like it would need like a zeitgeist of an executive who's just a big fan of wrestling that says, we want wrestling on our company. But now, New Japan's grown a lot more than it was 6 or 7 years ago. So hopefully they look at that and that means something to them. I'm just not sure I can speak for the television executives and what their mindset is, because I don't even understand the ones here, let alone in Japan, really. So I'm hoping for the best, though. Like I said, there's been a lot of growth. There's no doubt about that. They're a hot brand. Hopefully he can get it done. Hopefully this guy knows what he's doing when it comes to the TV side of things. And I'd love to see it happen. I think it would be great. I think if that would happen, that would be a really great thing. I will say that. So you have to keep your... I think it's something you have to keep an eye on if you're a fan. Because if that happens, that's a really big story.
Yeah. You can't be too optimistic. I think you have to be realistic about what is going on in Japan and in the world of professional wrestling right now. And I can remember vividly that we've been talking about the expansion of New Japan to the US last year, and we said we hope they don't rush it. And it's basically the same for the new president now. I hope they don't rush things and get ahead of themselves. So... They have to be smart. They have to look at business how it is and go from there, from where they are to one step at a time, I think. But as you mentioned, for a long time, we didn't really think that there was even a possibility of a better television spot. And for a long time, we didn't think that a New Japan show would even air live in the United States. But apparently this is happening here again in 2018 with the Big Cow Palace show. It's now officially a G1 special in San Francisco, and apparently XTV is expected to announce imminently that they will be airing the July 7 New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 special show at the Cow Palace in San Francisco live. This is from f4wonline.com. So this show is going to be headlined by New Japan's Big Four: Okada, Omega, Tanahashi, and Naito. Young Bucks are also announced for this show. We mentioned it in one of our last episodes. They sold about 3,000 tickets, and I think with more wrestlers announced for that show or matches announced for that show, I think they can sell even more tickets for this one. So this should be another good step to the next goal for New Japan in the US with the live airing here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised considering the success of the previous Access specials. I think it's a natural fit that they would be on, and Access has been a very nice partner for New Japan in America, and I'm not surprised they would do it again for this big show. I will say this, and I think it's interesting to talk about, because we saw a lot of talk about the All-In show selling out in 30 minutes for 10,000. Do you think that, because a lot of people have speculated this, do you think that that has a big effect on the Cow Palace show, and that people chose All In as the show to go to over the Cow Palace show?
I think some people did, actually, because...
Yeah, I definitely think...
Because...
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Because this New Japan show, now in the Cow Palace, this is not a new thing. But All In is... Really, if you think about All In... This is an unprecedented show. It is really without any example in recent wrestling history that an event is promoted without a company, a bigger company, being behind this event. Of course, there have been independent shows that have been promoted by individuals without a promotion being behind that, but not on that scale. This is unprecedented, and I think a lot of people chose All In just because of the nature of this show. It's basically, well, it's actually a renegade show with people who don't have a company behind them being on this show. Of course, a lot of them are known through New Japan or through Ring of Honor, but none of these companies are officially behind All In, and it will be very interesting to see how or if New Japan and or Ring of Honor can benefit from All In.
Yeah, I think it's a good look for them right now, but I think, much like we said, at first, we talked about this, I believe on our last show even, that basically we thought it was no big deal that the Cap House didn't do that great right away with no card.
Yeah, I still don't think it's a big deal.
The fact that they sold out so fast really made me think that there was a choice made by a good amount of people. That I'm with you for the most part, but I do think we could look at it, if there is something that comes from this, we can look back at that moment and say that people did make that choice. And if I were New Japan, I would really think about letting people like Okada on these shows over my own shows next time. But I think right now it's a good look to be a part of all this. Just because, like you said, a lot of people are taking this as an unprecedented show, and much like you said, a renegade show, a fight the power type of show with these guys. So I think it helps you look better to have your guys on here. And I think the publicity will be so much with the hype machine that's behind it. I think that it was a great idea for now. I do think in the future, especially if nothing more comes of the Cow Palace, or maybe it's a disappointing number. Maybe instead of 10,000, it's 6,000 and 7,000, which is still great, but I think they wanted that 10,000, which is why they ran the Cow Palace and not the same one they did last time. So I think they could look at that and make some decisions in the future of any more future All-Ins, which I think there will be more All-Ins in the future, to say the least.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I agree and I disagree with you at the same time, because of course I agree that New Japan has to choose their spots more wisely in the future. And secondly, the guys that have promoted All-In now, they have incredible leverage right now.
Yeah.
Even more unprecedented as All In itself is the leverage that the Young Bucks and Cody have right now over the companies they wrestle for. It's amazing. It's amazing. They can do whatever they want, basically.
That's true. They've really marketed this so well. Above everything else, I think that what they've done from just a business perspective was just... they've hit all the right notes so far going into this. And I just think it's great, but I do think that there is some, I don't want to say overrating of certain things, but like I've heard some people saying Okada would want to leave New Japan to if they formed their own company.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's very early speculation.
I don't want to join into that speculation. But yeah. There's one point I wanted to make that's kind of disagreeing with you. Because still, New Japan selling over 3,000 tickets for the Cow Palace show shows that this Japanese wrestling company now has a fan base in the United States of more than 3,000 people that is willing to buy anything that's New Japan.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
It's just New Japan, nothing else. There's no name behind it. It's just... No. Well, of course, there's a name New Japan behind it, but there is no wrestler behind it. There is no match behind it. There is just New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, and they easily could have, you know, put that on there if they wanted. But like I said, I think it's great for that. I think it's amazing. That to me is something I never would have expected to see because 3,000 is nothing to shake a stick at. That's what we said last time, really. Even though it's supposedly a disappointing number to some people, that's still really good in the market of U.S. wrestling, U.S. independent wrestling. So I think that's great on their end, but. I just think it'll come down to what we do at the end, or what we see they do in terms of the number at the end, you know? And I think we need to see the matches before we judge anything like that. But I do worry. That did give me pause to see it sell out so fast for All In. That made it seem like there was a concerted effort. And I wonder if they lost anyone by not announcing something earlier from now. But
maybe.
We'll see. Yeah, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal, much like we said last time. But I do agree with you that those fans would buy anything. Like you said, I think that's great for New Japan. It just depends on their own feeling on it, really, more than anyone else's. Because I think if they wanted to do more, they could have advertised a match. Or at least said... I really believe that the reason they didn't want to do that is because of the championship situation right now, and they wanted to let that play out at Dominion before they announced any matches. They wanted everything to play out at Dominion before they announced any matches.
Yeah.
So I can't fault them for that, but also I think if they wanted more, if they look at this and say, oh, we kind of blew this one a little, they could have announced something. I don't think it would have been that hard or bad, but like I said, I'm really with you for the most part. I don't think there's anything to be upset about or worried about with New Japan's numbers or the Cow Palace show in general. I think it's great that they're live. I think that by the end of it, both shows will be very successful, the Cow Palace and the All In. And obviously All In already is, but I do believe the Cow Palace show, I still believe that will be a successful show by the end of it.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, that's July. And as you said, we have to probably wait for what happens at Dominion, which will set up the Cow Palace show, and that's July. But right now we're at the end of May, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's halftime through the Best of the Super Junior, and we decided to look at the tournament not match by match, but we wanted to talk about each performer, each wrestler in the tournament so far. And Dylan, when I'm looking at Block A right now, very striking is that Tiger Mask 4 is leading the block with 6 points right now. What did you make of that?
I think, you know, like I said last time we were talking about the tournament blocks, I think Tiger Mask, if you look at his tournament last year, he had an underrated tournament. Everyone looks at him as one of the worst people in the block, but I think he had a really good tournament last year. And this year, he's getting the surprise kind of hot start, so to speak. I think whenever I see somebody go 3 or 4-0, I always expect the downturn coming, and I think that we will definitely be seeing that soon. So I have no problems with it on that end. I think if the only thing I would say is that due to the circumstances of it, Tiger Mask, I really think that this may have been better last year for him, not just him, but Liger as well. Last year, you had the old man. I think that would have been much more meaningful. And even with him, because you had Tiger Mask W going on at the time, I think his popularity would have been better served for a hot run like that last year. So mm-hmm. I wonder why they did it this year with Tiger Mask. No offense, because I think he's pretty okay. I've had my ups and downs with him in his career. At some points, really good. Some points, not that great. But right now, I think he's a solid addition to the tournament. I think all of his matches have been pretty solid. I liked his match with Yo.
Yep.
I think he's done a pretty good job. Nothing spectacular, but I have no problem for it on that end. I just wonder why they did it now instead of last year, more than anything.
I call it the Shelton Benjamin syndrome. Remember when he went 4-0 in the G1 and people were getting crazy about it and thinking, oh, he has to make the finals right now. And then I said, nope, he's losing every match from now on. He did. That's what he did.
That's right.
So from one perspective, it's what they do in every big tournament they have. There is one guy that nobody suspects that he could end up with that many points, and he goes on a winning streak to create doubt for the usual favorites. And that fans doubt the usual favorite and say, oh, how is he supposed to make the finals now? And then he comes from behind and wins all the matches in the end. That's how these tournaments always work out. And then I think Tiger Mask is in a kind of a similar role as, you mentioned the Legends, kind of a similar role as Hiroyoshi Tenzan was in his last G1 run he had. Because remember, he had a great start as well, won two matches, and then basically fell off a cliff because he couldn't hang anymore. And Tiger Mask started with a match against Kanemaru, and I gotta say, Kanemaru has been incredibly decent in this tournament as well. This was a good match to have at the first day of the Super Junior tournament, and then you mentioned this match against Yo, and this one was very interesting for me in many ways because it absolutely was a generational match between those two guys, and Tiger Mask had to hit Yo with everything he had to be successful in the end. He hit the Tiger Driver, he hit the double arm suplex, and he had to hit it all to defeat Yo. And right now, Tiger Mask is still better than Yo is, but maybe not next year. And then the match with Bushi came, and that one kind of confused me because Bushi was basically beating up Tiger Mask for 10 minutes, and then Tiger Mask won the match.
Yeah, that's a great descriptor of that match. And we'll talk about Bushi a little more in a little bit.
So I don't expect Tiger Mask to win many more matches here in this tournament, but nice run for him here in Block A.
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. No problem at all.
And then we have many guys with 4 points right now, actually. Let's start out with Taiji Ishimori first, because I think we both have an opinion on him, because it's his first tournament with New Japan, his first tour with New Japan, his first tour as a member of New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. He is the Bone Soldier, Taiji Ishimori. He's working as a heel right now. What do you think of Ishimori's performances as of right now?
Yeah, I will say one thing, too. I will invoke the name of my great-grandpa, Ken, who watched the first day with me.
Oh, love Ken's takes.
Yes, his opinion on Tiger Mask was, he says, there's been so many of them. Who even knows who the real one is? And so,
have you ever told him that there is a Black Tiger 7?
I told him that there were many Tiger Masks and Black Tigers as well, but I used, he said, I know the original one was the best one.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever seen Satoru Sayama ever wrestle. So I gave him the backstory of the original Tiger Mask from the comic books and the anime. That he originally died and in a car accident and threw his mask in the river, and he said, "Wow, that's amazing."
Yeah,
about it. And he said, "So, but he didn't like that match because he doesn't like any of the bad guys, so he was very anti Kanemaru." Nevertheless, on Ishimori in the main event, I think in ring, I thought he had a really strong debut. I think he's got a good swagger. He's unexpectedly worked his heel gimmick much better than you might think. He's shown a lot of charisma, I think.
I think the same, actually, yes.
Yeah. And the first match I thought was a really strong match, one of the best of the tournament so far, versus Ospreay. And otherwise, like I said, he's kind of kept his heel run going. I thought his match with Bushi was a very much better than I expected it to be. So I thought that was good. The match with Flip was so-so, but I thought the first match was really good. I just had to laugh when it came up on his video screen, The Reborn. I was like, come on. Now that, you know, it's like, you know, come on, are we really going there, man?
Well, as the bone soldier in the Bullet Club, he obviously has to take some shots, you know.
Yeah, I know. I still don't like the Bone Soldier entrance, the mask and everything, but I think as a heel, he's done a great job with it. He's got a lot of charisma that he hasn't shown in a while when it comes to that, the Double X team that he's been in. I think he's got a whole new style here. I think he's very smart to do that. He has the new finisher, the Bloody Cross that he's used. And I will say, too, about that Ospreay match, I really liked about it that they held themselves in check in terms of time, because that saved more for their inevitable title match.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a really well worked match that he had. I think him in general, no matter the overall match quality, I think he's been a standout performer. Just what he brought to the table in his matches, I really think he's done a great job.
Yeah, it's very good that you mentioned the Ospreay and the Flip Gordon match, because I'm with you with the Will Ospreay match. I thought this was a very great start for the tournament. The Flip Gordon match, not so much.
Yeah.
And the thing here is, generally, I agree with you that Ishimori is doing his heel character very well, but there are some points that he is missing, and that is mostly due to his height.
Good point.
He's small.
He's 5'4".
Yeah, right. You can see that Flip is much taller than him. And as a heel right now, it is not his role to perform the dives anymore, or not as often as he used to in Pro Wrestling Noah, but it is his obligation to catch the dives. And if you've seen that in the Flip Gordon match, he can't catch a dive.
I know. He's the second coming of Kawato in Mexico.
Yeah.
Who's had a lot of trouble. But yes, I actually did notice that in the Flip match. But I hate that too, because that's so dangerous when you don't catch dives.
But on the contrary, Dylan, I want to pick up something that you brought up on your Lucha Talk when you briefly talked about the tournament here. The fact that Ishimori is well-versed in Lucha style is working to his benefit here in his heel role, because he is working on the ground very much in this tournament so far. He's performing a different kind of holds and submission locks and so on, and I think he really benefits from his training that he did with Ultimo Dragon years ago.
I totally agree. I think he's always been underrated as a mat wrestler, even when he was more of a high flyer when he first came into Noah. When he's got the chance to show it, he's always been very, very, very strong performer on the mat. So I'm really glad that he's utilized that well. And I think, like you said, he's done it very well, and that training with Ultimo Dragon really has come through all these years later. So I'm with you on that one completely. I really like what he brings to the table. Stylistically, I think he's such a unique performer, because we've seen guys, especially in Block B, that can really be technical wrestlers, and some guys like that could be high flyers, but he's kind of a great mix of both, and I think he's got a really unique style. And in that Ospreay match, and a lot of his matches, he's done a great job, too, of using the ring itself as a weapon.
He uses this new sliding German suplex now as a heel move, too, and that looks great.
Yeah, that move, he's just the way he goes in and out of the ring. He had a segment with Ospreay where he went outside one side of the ring, then quickly transitioned to the other side, and it led to him sliding through his legs, and he didn't move, and it was really great. It was really crisp how he did it. It reminded me of, like, you know, really peak Ikuto Hidaka style in terms of his ring presence, and I really appreciate him bringing that into his game. I think he's got such a unique style, too, that he's really been one of my favorites just stylistically. So I think that's what separates him from some people.
And I think one of the favorites of most people in the tournament so far has been Will Ospreay. We mentioned the match he had with Taiji Ishimori. He also had a great match with ACH. That is rated 7.48 at Cage Match right now. And he also, on the show in May 24 show in Shiba, where Will Ospreay defeated Yo in a 16:28. What I thought was an outstanding match.
Yeah, that was a good match. I thought Yo, he's had a really kind of, not to harp on Yo, but I think Ospreay played his role quite well against Yo, because Yo's been more of a storyline underdog type of role. And I thought Ospreay really guided him well, so to speak. Or not guided him, but really responded well to Yo and guided him to a really good match. When it comes to that, I thought it was cool because Yo's partner had been getting a lot of buzz, and I think it was his time to be in the main event. And Ospreay really helped him deliver. Not his greatest match overall, but for a babyface versus babyface style match, which they really made sure to work it, it gave Yo a lot. And I thought Ospreay was very unselfish, not just in his own moves, but I thought he was very unselfish in making Yo look good, and he did a really good job at a. That was definitely the best match of that show, too, I would say.
Really liked what Yo brought to the table. You mentioned it that Ospreay gave him a lot, and Yo made it work for him. They had a great sequence in the end, even in the middle of the match, where they had this exchange, and Ospreay had him down, and Yo basically stood up out of the pinfall attempt that Ospreay did in the end. Ospreay rolled through with his new Stormbreaker finishing move. That was pretty well done as well. So, as we're right now on the topic of Yo, we might actually talk about him a little bit. You mentioned him. He's more of a storyline performer right now. What do you make of his ring attire?
Now, this is one of the things Ken mentioned right away to me. He was like, what in the hell is he wearing? Where do they find these people? And I was like, remember the gold and silver guys? And he was like, oh, they're good. And I was like, yeah. But I was like, maybe he's a tribute to Half Macho Man with the tassels, he said. But yeah, I don't know what this is. It kind of reminded me of like Naito's old baby face.
I was about to mention that because he basically is... Polvo de Estrella Cito right now. It's a mini version of Tetsuya Naito right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what he looks like, with the red and the white and the tassels, and even the boots. I guess he was a big fan of Naito when he was in the No Limit, or right after his No Limit run. But yeah, not the best. I definitely think Sho has the better singles attire of the two.
Yeah, Sho has the better singles attire of the two, and, well, if we're talking nicknames... those two nicknames they have aren't the best, but still I think High Voltage, that Sho is using as a nickname right now, is still superior to High and Mighty that Yo is using.
Well,
the New Japan president has to do some branding for those two.
That is true. High Voltage. I love it. And High and Mighty is even better. I think if there's one thing that we can say in 2018 with the world of ProRes, it's that at least it's not the hate speech that he got given. That's the only positive of High and Mighty. So overall, I would say.
Man.
High Voltage. Yeah. I love it.
I like him, but I don't think he's going to be making much of an impact here in this tournament. But someone who has made quite an impact so far, I think, is Flip Gordon. He had a great match with ACH at the first day of the Best of the Super Junior, and it's always interesting to see those Super Junior shows because the audience is always quite different from a regular New Japan Kurken Hall show. When they bring in guys like ACH and Flip Gordon, lots of fans seem to know them. Same as for Dragon Lee, by the way. Lots of people come for Dragon Lee matches, and they wear Dragon Lee masks. Even though he's only in for one or two tours a year, he's very popular with the fans. And some people seem to know Flip Gordon. He had a tour with New Japan already, but that was the Ring of Honor one that not so many people watched here. So Flip Gordon versus ACH I thought was a good match, or a great match, better. Gordon versus Ishimori, that was okay. And what else? What else did he have?
Kanemaru.
Yeah. The Kanemaru one, that was okay.
So I liked the ACH match a lot. I think everybody did. My only problem was when they went to the crowd. I think that took a lot for it just because of how long they were running around out there and not really... it wasn't really coherent in any way. I thought ACH looked just, well, we'll talk about him in a little bit. But Flip, he did have his great spot where he did the double jump into a senton where he just got, it looked like he was 10 feet in the air off of that leap on there. That was just a great senton that he did. But yeah, he made a great impression to the fans because even in his entrance, when he did the backflip off the turnbuckle and took his shorts off, the whole crowd gave a huge reaction to that. And I was like, wow, when that happened. But yeah, he had a really great first match, and I think that goes a long way. And his style is so kind of new fan friendly. You know what he's about right away with the kip-ups where he does them over and over and the flips that he does. That was a really great match. The next couple of matches, I wasn't a huge fan of. That Kanemaru match might have been my least favorite match of the tournament, actually. No offense, Flip. But the Ishimori match, it was solid, not a bad match at all. But so far, I think his story's yet to be written because we've seen all three sides of him. You know, a really good match, a decent match, and a match that I don't think was that great at all. So I think it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And I think that's a good tell of him as a performer because I think the upside is big, but he's not there yet. He's not a complete performer yet, and I think we're seeing it in this tournament as it plays out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Flip has only been wrestling since 2015, so he still has a long way to go. But as you mentioned, he already has great fundamentals down because he is able to introduce himself to a crowd. Some of them might already know him, and others might not know him, and so he's introducing himself to them, and that's a great way to get attention here from these fans in Kuroken Hall and all over Japan, basically.
I will say Ken's reaction to him on the show, he was like, "Who is this guy?" And I said, "Oh, he's from Ring of Honor," and he said, "Ugh, Ring of Honor." he doesn't like any of the Ring of Honor guys, but it's still, I thought he was impressed by the dive though that he did. So that was good. Yeah. Good job, Flip.
So one of those opponents we mentioned, Flip Gordon already wrestled was ACH, and ever since his first match that he had with Flip Gordon, ACH is selling both a shoulder and a leg injury. And I think he's doing it very well. ACH is an amazing performer. He is so energetic. He is so likable. He's so sympathetic. He's just such a great package of a junior heavyweight. He not only brings the high flying, but he also has some power moves like the lariats he does. I'm so happy that he's back in this tournament here.
Yeah, he to me has been one of the standout performers. I thought he was really phenomenal in that Flip match. I thought he really did a great job leading Flip through that match and doing his own thing. The Osprey match was really good. And someone like him, because the last year he was in the tournament and I didn't think he stood out very much. I thought he kind of dropped the ball a little bit for an opportunity. And I think that weighed on him because he's come out with a chip on his shoulder and wrestled at the level I always knew he could. And like you said, he has the injuries that he's selling. He came out the first night and was like, "Oh man, what's with this guy? He's already injured with the tape on his legs. He has it on his thigh. He has it on his shoulder." So, and he's done a great job selling it too. I think the shoulder particularly, like you mentioned. So, ACH, I have nothing but good things to say about in this tournament. I think he's really been impressive and really taken the ball and ran with it this year. After last year, I'm really happy for him because I've always thought he was a great talent.
He also had one of the better matches that Yoshinobu Kanemaru has had as of, well, late in recent years. Well, the match was actually very good, I thought. Very fluid motions between those two guys. ACH sold his injury very well. Kanemaru exploited it perfectly. So just a very good match for the spot they had here in their match on May 24. And one thing that I wanted to bring up too is ACH is basically shedding a light on AAW because he's coming out with the AAW Heavyweight Championship with the big belt they have. And well, a couple of years ago, it was Ring of Honor that he shed a light on. That's how things change in wrestling, yeah?
That's true. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah, right. So that was Flip Gordon. That was ACH. Block A, we have two performers left. Yeah, Yoshinobu Kanemaru. To be honest, of course, Kanemaru, we've been down on him a lot on this show. But he really isn't that bad at all in this tournament. His matches have been decent. at least. As I mentioned, the ACH match has been good, and you can make a point that in this tournament, Yoshinobu Kanemaru is the worst performer, but when you look at all the other guys in the tournament, that is still very high, very high level bad.
Yeah, I actually thought that, much like we mentioned earlier, I thought the Tiger Mask match was unexpectedly solid. Yeah. I was very happy with that. I thought the flip match was not good at all. And the ACH match, my problem with that match, and really that whole night before the final match, was it felt like that it was a very not a high priority show. Let's just say to the performers on night five. So I don't think anybody gave their maximum effort overall until the main event. They did a good job, Ospreay and Yo, but I think that they all had better matches in them, and even Kanemaru. But overall, yeah, like you said, he's not been terrible by any means. Not embarrassing himself at all. But I just think his problem is that he's never been a quote unquote terrible wrestler.
No,
it's just he's very. He doesn't bring anything to the table, I don't feel like, in his matches. He's very soft, like, he's just good enough to be average, if that makes sense. It can sometimes swing, you know, worse or better, but I don't think he's someone that brings a whole lot, even to that Tiger Mask match. So, he's done okay, but he, like I said, for a last guy at the end of the table, so to speak, you know, you could do a lot worse, but I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of him or this tournament right now, overall.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But still decent performances here. Last and actually least right now is is Bushi, because he has lost all of his matches so far, all three matches. He's basically the anti-Tiger Mask. It was weird seeing him against Tiger Mask, as I mentioned. He dominated the match throughout throughout the entire match, and then lost the match. I'm sure he's going to pick up some wins in the end, but his spot here is clearly that he is a utility player. He's here to get other guys some points in the tournament, and they don't really have a lot of plans for him right now here.
I think that is a role which fits him fine. I'm not sad over that at all. But he's actually had an okay tournament. His match with Yo, solid enough.
Yeah,
I would say he was okay. It was more Yo that was a part of it. Ishimori again. That was an unexpectedly good match. But he's another one I'm not a huge fan of personally in ring. But you know, he's done.
Bushi's a great character.
Yeah, he has the mask, he has the suit when he comes out. Ken was very impressed with his snakeskin suit, as he said. But at first he was like, whoa, who is this? And I was like, well, he just watch him wrestle. And then he was mad because he thought he was a sore loser after that match. But Bushi, he's fine. You know, he's doing okay. Like you said, he's more of a character than anything. Yes. So I have no problem with that. No problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get to some characters right now, because we're transitioning over to Block B, and this one is Lawlet. The top of the block, I didn't necessarily expect him to be in the tournament, because as you also mentioned on your Lucha Talk show, that Dragon Lee has been injured before this tournament, and maybe he has been held off from wrestling in Mexico, so he could come over to Japan, because he always is a great import, as I mentioned. Lots of people come to the shows to see Dragon Lee, and Dragon Lee is a fantastic performer. And I want to bring up something here right away. Dragon Lee, he was born in 1995, and Chris Sabin, wrestling in the same block as Dragon Lee, is wrestling since 1999.
Wow!
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
It's totally wild. Well, of course, Tiger Mask and Kanemaru have been around since the mid '90s as well. But here in the block, that was especially striking to me.
Yeah, and you know, Dragon Lee, he is really underrated when it comes to physical charisma too. when you look at that first night he, or the, you know, his first match on day two, when he came out with the Mexican flag, it felt like a main eventer was walking out right wrapped around him to me. It felt like an old school boxer with the flag, the way he walked out, almost like a king type person with the slow walk. I thought he played it off great. I think he's got a great look to him, a great wrestling, obviously. I think you could easily make the case he's been one of the strongest performers in the tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah. He has had the match with Sho on the second day of the tournament, first block match for him, rated 8.10 by the Cagematch users right now. He has had the match with Ryosuke Taguchi, that was good as well. And then, of course, he had the match with Hiromu Takahashi. Explosive match. Just explosive.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows what they bring to the table, but that match with Sho was so good too.
Yeah.
Those are actually my number one and two matches so far in the tournament. It was both with him, so that tells you what he's doing right now. And like I said, I just think it's great. But like you said, I think we have to talk about the record because he too has got off to a hot start.
Yeah.
But much like Tiger Mask, you know what that means when someone goes undefeated early on.
Exactly.
So I look forward to him getting knocked down a peg, but. Overall, I'm still happy with it. I love what he's doing in the ring, so I can't wait to see more of him wrestling. And I think he's almost like an honorary member of the roster at this moment for all the times he's come over and his feud with Hiromu. And I just thought that so far he's had a great tournament. What is a standout performance for sure.
Can you see him go all the way through the finals just because he's so popular and he's this honorary member of the roster right now?
That would be great. I think that would be great if they wanted to hold off Ishimori and Hiromu.
Yeah.
If Ishimori is to win the block, or if they, like we said, we speculated on Ospreay winning to face Rey. If they wanted to do that, that would be a great finals matchup too. I think that would actually increase his odds of making the finals. If Ospreay is the pick, I think he would be a more likely pick than Hiromu.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Man, that's.
Yeah.
I'd
love to see it.
You mentioned the physical charisma that Dragon Lee has, and that that struck me when he had his post-match celebration in Osaka after he defeated Hiromu Takahashi. He was just standing in the middle of the ring, and he's only wearing his mask and his wrestling outfit. He has this great-looking body, and he's just looking at the crowd, and the crowd is just heating up just to hear him talk. He's a star.
Yeah, totally, totally. And great promo too in Spanish,
exactly.
In Forma too. So he's a very charismatic guy, and just in the ring, I think he's just a phenomenal performer. And I like you said, him being in the finals would make me happy because he's been my favorite person, and I think he really deserves it too. When he looks at him, because he doesn't have the hype to Western New Japan fans as some other people in the tournament, like Hiromu, for example. And then nothing against Hiromu, I love him too, but I think Dragon Lee, if he got a big push, I think that would be great for him, and I think he totally delivers whenever he gets the ball. So,
absolutely. And he's also doing a little soccer reference, as you just mentioned, the ball. He's, of course, the 2018 World Cup is coming up, and Mexico is facing Germany in the group stage.
oh no, that must be a block of death.
Yeah. Oh, no, not exactly. No. It's a good group, but not exactly a group of death. You know, somebody I would really love to see in the finals. I don't have high hopes for him, but I really would like to see him there because I've been a fan of El Desperado for a long, long time now. He has struggled early on when he came back with his gimmick. As a face, it didn't really work out at first, mainly because he lost right away to Kota Ibushi when he came back.
Yeah.
Then he was turned heel, joined Suzuki-gun, and it really seemed like a strange fit for Desperado to be in this group with the three other juniors at that point in time, with Taichi and Takamichi Noko. He seemed like the odd man out in this group. But more and more, El Desperado has worked himself to be a crucial part of Suzuki-gun, and he really, in my opinion, has incorporated the spirit of Minoru Suzuki like few others in the group have, because Desperado brings the same kind of chaos whenever he comes to the ring like Minoru Suzuki does. He, of course, is a good wrestler. He can lock in on the holds like he did in his match against Sho. He can No, no, he hasn't faced Sho yet, right?
Yeah, he hasn't faced Sho.
What match am I talking about? Wait a sec. He certainly is a guy that is using this holes and locks, and he's bringing this chaos that Minoru Suzuki brings to the table as well. And you never know what you will get with El Desperado inside the ring, but you for sure know that you're going to be entertained.
Desperado did face Sho on the night okay. six.
Yeah, then so, that's the match what I was talking about. He was match night six, right? He was working Sho's leg throughout the match, and Sho was selling it very well as well. And in the end, he lost to the what's his name now? The
Shock Arrow.
Shock Arrow, right? High voltage, man.
High voltage, right? How dare you forget that? But Desperado, to me. It's funny because I've been watching him ever since he was a young lion, you know, and when he was one, actually, I don't know how many people have seen this, but he was a great babyface as a young lion. He's a really great, he was one of the last ones that faced veterans a lot more than you know, his old young lions, and he had some great performances on that end. And when he was in Mexico, he had more of a heel edge, obviously, and he really grew as time went along, and I was really excited when he came back. Like you said, the booking wasn't really there for him as a babyface. To me, I think him, when I look at him as a wrestler, it's all about motivation with him, what you're going to get. If he really sinks his teeth into something, he can be great. And we saw it with that Hiromu match, which to me was right up
there.
Oh,
man, yes. Oh, that was a great match. That was so intense. They brawled throughout the entire ring area, and He and Desperado was so intent on proving that he's on the same level as Hiromu Takahashi in that match, and he totally did, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I loved that match. I thought that was a great match and a huge win for him, too, that really made him look good. You know, it started off, and we've seen, like I said, the three, sort of like, you know, in the A-block with some people, we've seen three different sides of him, because his first match with Taguchi was more of a comedy match, you know, going after the butt of Taguchi, to say the least. Not that great.
Yeah, well, Desperado and Taguchi, not that great of a match, but at least funny. But then, Dylan, we have High Voltage. We mentioned him throughout the show already. It's Sho. And Sho, I think he has had a outstanding performance already in his first match, or in very early on in his tournament with Dragon Lee. It was his first match, actually, on the second day of the tournament that he had with Dragon Lee. Fantastic match that put him on the map right away as a outstanding performer here in this Best of the Super Junior tournament.
Absolutely, Striga. I thought his match was right, another one of those right up there. You mentioned the Desperado Hiromu and the Hiromu Dragon Lee. I think that match is right up there as one of the top performances of the tournament and the top matches of the tournament. And Sho, when you look at him, not just the way he wrestles, this guy, when you think about what he does in the ring, he's got so many different styles. If you look at how he wrestles, you look at his match against Dragon Lee, that's a totally different match than his next match versus Sabin, which was also a great match, I thought. Oh. A really strong performance.
Oh, I love that match. I loved Sho and Chris Sabin. It was such a great kind of clash of styles, but in a strange way it worked so well with those two guys. Sho seems like a guy who is really intent on making it work for him here in the tournament, and he has had a better tournament than Yo, who is kind of struggling mostly with his ring outfit right now.
That's true. You can't let go of the attire. That's the problem with Yo. But the thing is, Yo, when he wrestles, not just how he's booked, but how he comes across like an underdog, and Sho comes across like a star. When he walks out, he's got the great physique. And when they went on excursion, when they were young lions, everybody kind of thought that Yo was the better worker when they were the young lions. And I like Sho. When they went to Mexico, they had an informer. When they first got there, you know, usually you have Okamura translating for you to the Mexican fans. But Sho had actually learned a little bit of Spanish already for his first interview. So that, to me, just showed me that he grows the extra mile, like you said, to make whatever he's doing working. He's worked all these different styles. To me, he's someone that's probably a big fan of wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if he watches Lucha or American wrestling, as well as obviously Japanese wrestling and his own stuff. I think he's someone that has a lot of different styles to him. And as amazing as it is, because he's had such a great tournament already, he's made his mark already, you know, in some ways, I think he's just scratching the surface of his potential and what he could be as one of the top stars of the junior heavyweights in New Japan.
Yeah, that's actually true. Well, as you put it right, as you have put it right now, he's going the extra mile, and this work ethic really goes to show that he can be just that you mentioned, one of the future stars of this division here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been one of the stories of the tournament so far too. So I'm really happy for him. Just the only thing is that high voltage. I don't know if he's a fan of the tag team at WCW.
I'm a fan, big fan.
Oh yeah, you love Robbie Rage and Chaos.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, so show. so that's what it is. But yeah, besides that, I think he's got better attire, obviously, than Yo. He's got the gold and the black that he's running with. I will say this. Although I don't like Yo's attire, I don't think anybody does. I like that they have different gear than they have as a tag team. I think that's a great touch.
That's something that kind of bothered me when the Young Bucks were in the tournament, that they were just in different blocks and basically were just the Young Bucks.
Yeah, exactly. They just kind of look the same as they always do. Exactly. I think it's notable that these guys, the difference between the Young Bucks is they were already veterans. They had already been so known as a tag team. These guys, I think, have looked at this tournament as an opportunity, and they have really taken advantage of it. And in particular, Sho has done a great job of taking advantage of, and running with the ball, like I said.
Yes, he did. And we mentioned him here because he faced Sho. Chris Sabin. I already mentioned that he has been wrestling since the late 90s, and the first time I really saw him was, I think, in 2003. I've briefly exchanged some tweets with Rob Nalai about this, because, and I mentioned it on a prior show we did before this tournament, Chris Sabin really is one of those guys that has influenced wrestlers from that have been fans in the early 2000s very much so. And I'm so happy to see him in this tournament. And we talked about Dragon Lee, we talked about Sho, we talked about Hiromu Takahashi, and Chris Sabin brings something totally different. And that was visible in his match with Sho, but not only in this match with Sho, but also in his match with Kushida. Chris Sabin brings his chain wrestling and his technical style much more than the high flying that guys like Dragon Lee, Hiromu Takahashi, or even Sho can bring. And I don't know about you, Dylan, but I love the match with Sho. We already mentioned that. And I was a big fan of the match that Chris Sabin had with Kushida on the second day of the Best of the Super Junior. Just a great exchange of holds, great chain wrestling until the end of the match. Kushida used some of Alex Shelley's moves in this. I think he used the shell shock into the corner in this match. Great touch here, because, of course, Alex Shelley is a longtime tag team partner of both guys here in this match. So, loved it. It wasn't the favorite match of lots of people. We were at 5.82 at Cage Match right now, but I was a big fan of it.
Oh, that's way too low, in my opinion. I don't know what the Cage Match viewers are talking about with that rating, because to me, I'm with you, Strig. I think that was a great match, and I love the style that they worked. I love the style that Sabin brings to the table. You know, when he was back in the mid-2000s, when you first saw him and I first saw him, I mentioned it on the last show, he's an inspiration to me. Yeah. I'm living proof that he is. So, but back then, he had much more of a high-flying style in his own way. And here, obviously, he's gotten older, he had a lot of injuries that he's come through, but he's really used it to not become a lesser performer, just become a different performer. Yeah. And I think he's right up there with his style, what he brings to the table. I think the matches he's had against Sho and Kushida were his perfect opponents when you think about it, and he really made the best of it himself. And I really loved what Sabin's brought to the table so far. I think he's been a great addition to the tournament. And when you think about it, he's wrestled for so long that I'm just happy to see him get this opportunity finally. And however this shakes out with the record, you know, however he comes out in terms of the record of the the tournament himself. I think he can hold his head up high based on what he's done so far. And I really look forward to seeing the rest of the tournament that he has, because I think he's still got some great matches coming up with some more high-flying opponents like Dragon Lee and Herb Lumber. So I really want to see, what he brings to the table then, because I think he's got great opponents like Sho and Kushida for this style. I want to see how he does against these high flyers, because I think he can bring something equally great in that style too, and I think that'll really just increase people's opinions of him. But yeah, I really loved both of those matches. Kushida and Sho, great stuff from Saban so far.
Totally. So, one of the guys Chris Sabin already faced was Kushida. What do you make of Kushida's tournament so far?
Really love the Sabin match, like I mentioned. I thought he did a great job. Him versus Skrull was a good match, too. A lot of people really loved that match, but I thought it was okay. I went a little long for what they were trying to do. Skrull is he's an interesting wrestler, I think, but Kushida, he did a good job in it. Then they had this match with Taguchi, which was an interesting booking decision overall.
I absolutely love what they do here. It goes to show how different all the guys in this tournament are and how different the matches can be. They don't have to go necessarily 10 minutes or 15 minutes. They can end, well, within an eyelash.
Yeah, and I thought it was nice. I prefer this to something like Yano, where all of his matches are kind of like this.
Yeah.
This was more like a flash pin that you didn't expect. You know, nobody expected. My problem is, I think that they could have had a really great match out of it. I would have preferred someone else to kind of do this, because I think last year they had an incredible encounter, if you remember Kushida versus Taguchi last year, one of the best matches of the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So when you think about that, I would have loved to have seen what they could have brought to the table. Besides that, I have no problem with Kushida. I don't feel he's really a threat. He just had his title shot earlier in the month. So him taking the fall, I have no problems with, whatever happens. But in terms of wrestling, I think he's done as good of a job as can be expected, even though unlike prior years, he's not a main focus. He's not really the top character, but I think his wrestling it's been really good. Especially that match with Saban, I just thought it was really strong.
He's a guy that is working in this tournament, and he's in some ways he's like Bushi. He's a utility player right now, but unlike Bushi, Kushida is someone that can heat up instantly, and he can be a believable challenger right away without having to push him first here. So Kushida always a good wrestler, and he proved that with Chris Sabin. Always like what he does in the ring, and so we can surely be looking forward to his next matches in the tournament. Another guy whose name we already dropped is Marty Skrull. I thought his match with Chris Sabin was very interesting. They kind of incorporated some comedy into the match as well. And so far, you mentioned the match with Kushida. We have it at 7.8 right now at Cage Match. So a lot of people love Marty Skrull. I think he's been, well, decent to good in this tournament. I didn't necessarily think that he has shown anything outstanding yet, but maybe that's still to come.
I can't believe they voted that match better than the Kushida Saban match.
I know.
Yeah, that's a little out there. But yeah, Skrull, he's not been terrible or anything by any means, but like you, I think he's just been kind of at a solid level with nothing, like you said, nothing outstanding. I think you pretty much summed it up well, but he's not dragging anything down or anything like that in Block B. Just compared to the other performers, I think he hasn't been as good, but that's not necessarily a knock, you know, especially in Block B. To me, I think Block B has been the stronger of the two thus far. So him not being being the seventh, you know, sixth or seventh best guy isn't that big a deal.
No, really it isn't.
Ryosuke
Taguchi. It's always funny when people talk about Ryosuke Taguchi, and I think New Japan has educated their fans very well when it comes to Ryosuke Taguchi, because before last year's tournament, when he had this banger with Kushida, you mentioned, people were always scratching their head and saying, why is this guy in a tournament? He doesn't do anything but his ass offense. But whenever the Super Junior comes around, Ryosuke Taguchi has his working boots on, and he is, of course, he's doing his diving ass attacks in the dive version and in the sliding version and whatever version he has. But he's also working very hard in this in these matches that he has. And so Taguchi is always someone New Japan can count on.
I think it's the hip attacks, Strigger, not the ass.
It's a sliding ass.
Okay, if you want to call it that, that's fine too. I don't know. I think that his matches, you have that 1 minute match with Kushida, and the Desperado match, which is almost all comedy. The Dragon Lee match was decent too, yeah. But I always expect two or three great matches, and I think those are yet to come. Yes. I still have a lot of faith in Taguchi. I'm a huge fan, even when everyone was down on him. I always thought he was a well-deserving kind of champion and a great wrestler, and he's had so many great matches that kind of get underrated sometimes. But right now in this tournament, he's not. I don't think he's unleashed that potential yet. He's been more of a comedy wrestler, straight up, so far. And obviously, you had the match with Kushida that was just a 1 minute match. You can't say anything bad about it. But I think if we're going to have some great matches, it's still yet to come with people like Saban, Hiromu, and people like that, you know? So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to his tournament still. But I think so far he hasn't been a standout, just because of his role more than anything. Not necessarily him being bad, just I don't think he's been put in positions to have a great match yet.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And the one guy we haven't talked about yet is the loose cannon, Hiromu Takahashi. What's your opinion on Takahashi in the Super Junior so far?
I thought that was Brian Pillman. That was the loose cannon. Hiromu... Great tournament so far. I love what he's done, brought to the table. I think that match with Dragon Lee was as awesome as we all knew it could be.
Sure.
And the Desperado match was just a phenomenal performance by both men. You know, so I think Hiromu's been up there as one of the top stars of the tournament. His match with Marty Scurll was a main event. It wasn't that great to me, but I really liked his other two matches. I thought he did a really fantastic job. Probably one of the standouts besides Dragon Lee. I think he's right up there with Sho and maybe Osprey in the same kind of level. So I think he's really lived up to his expectation, lived up to his nicknames, and I love what he's brought to the table. I don't know what to feel about his booking or anything like that yet, but I think in-ring, I wasn't too worried about that. I think his in-ring has really, he's really lived up to what I expected of him. But what about you?
Yeah, I am with you with the booking. I really don't know where he's going in this tournament so far. I don't have a strong feeling that he might go to the finals. I really don't think that he is. It's going to be very interesting. But definitely, from the in-ring perspective, he has been great. Not only the matches that he had with Dragon Lee and with El Desperado, but also the match that he had with Marty Scurll on the first tournament block day for Block B. That we have at 7.82 right now. He won the match with his triangle choke, and I think this triangle choke is called D? Something like that? I have to look it up, what's it actually supposed to mean? D. Do you know that, actually?
Listen, maybe he's a big fan of this show.
D. Of course, it stands for Daryl, of course.
Yeah, the big Daryl. Daryl Jr.
Yeah, so, you know what my opinion on Hiromu Takahashi is. I don't expect him to win anything, basically, until they prove me wrong. But until then, I of course always enjoy his performances. He's a great guy. He's a very charismatic guy, and he brings it in this tournament. He is working hard here, especially in this match with Dragon Lee. So, nothing bad to say about Hiromu.
They've really kind of not tried to dissuade your opinion of Hiromu's booking with this tournament, I feel like. Yeah, because it almost feels like, because it's not like he's doing anything wrong or he's less over, but it feels a little different, you know? Like, it feels like he's missing something he had last year, I feel like, when it comes to that, just overall. And not in terms of wrestling, but just in terms of how he's viewed, it feels like. And I think there's obvious reasons behind that, and it doesn't feel like it's his time to win. And just based on how this is played out and how the feeling I have, it doesn't feel like it's his time. I feel like in the Block A, you have Ishimori and Osprey that have a little more buzz behind him behind them than Hiromu does right now.
Right. So That's, I think, all of the performers we have so far. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about anything from the Super Junior tournament, or have we covered most bases for the tournament action?
Yeah, I think we did a great job covering everybody. I think in the future, going into the second half of the tournament, I think, first of all, I will say, I think this has been an improvement over last year's tournament for the first half in terms of match quality. I think both of the blocks have really delivered quite a bit more. And like I said, I was very frustrated last year watching Liger's run. I thought they could have handled it a lot better. I'm not a big fan of that whole storyline when it comes to people like that. So I think that took a lot away from me, and I've really enjoyed this tournament for what it is in terms of in-ring and booking. Going forward, I still think that Ishimori should win, but I thought it was interesting that he lost to Flip early on. I think that was a big win for Flip, obviously. Yeah. And so it seems like they have a lot of plans for these Ring of Honor guys and Flip, and I don't have a big problem with Flip. I don't think he's that bad. A lot of people are not a fan of his, but I think he's not okay in this tournament. Ishimori, I would have preferred him not lost to him, though, just because I feel like you give him this big win just to kind of knock him back down again, you know? And I feel like if you want to have, and same thing with Hiromu last year, kind of, if you want to make somebody a special guy, like put him at that tip-top level that can really elevate the whole division, you have to avoid stuff like that. You can't treat him like every other guy. And I think Ishimori had a lot of buzz with his debut this year in New Japan. Some positive, some negative, depending on who you talk to. But still, a lot of hype going in. I think they could have done something with him, and I think him losing to Flip really signifies to me, and I may be proven wrong by this, obviously, but it signifies to me that they don't really see him as anything more than just another guy, and maybe even a top guy, but still, I don't see them really having plans to elevate the division more than where it is right now, which, you know, like I said, there's a lot of guys that are over, they're doing well in the main events, so I'm sure they're happy with that, you know, but I just think
It was more about bringing new matches into the division or bringing new life to the division.
Yeah, I think that's fine, but I think like they really, it would be beneficial to them to have someone that can really be special and elevate that division to the next level, because I still don't get the feeling that in the grand scheme of things that things are that important in this division in terms of the company itself. I think they're doing a little better now. Obviously, I think the tournament with the main events and everything, I think that's a great step. But I just always go back to the history of New Japan. And when you look at it, when you look at where New Japan is now, we talked about the business at the start of the show. You have to compare them to their top eras now when it comes to their past. And to me, the junior division is still not there where it once was. And I think they could be. I think in terms of talent and crowd reaction, these guys are comparable to the top heavyweight stars, so I don't think there's any reason why, you know, one of these guys, whether it be Hiromu, Ishimori, whoever, could be up there as a top 5 or 10 star in the company. But I don't really get that feeling right now that that's the case.
I don't know. They still, from time to time, bump them up to be in the semi-main or in the third match from the top, and I think that's just fine for them. It's not like they are like in the mid-2000s when the juniors were in the opening match in the Tokyo Dome and got 8 minutes. That's not the case anymore.
That was never a good sign.
They are promoted pretty well, I think, right now. And I really don't know how much more you can get out of them.
But they were also in a random multi-man match that got silence at the winner at the Tokyo Dome this year, you know?
That is true.
I don't think that this division is where it could be in terms of not just the fans. Like I said, I don't see anybody in this group that to me is a top 5 star in this company. If you were just to name the top 5 stars, I don't see anybody on this list that would even come close to that. And it has nothing to do with talent or even just crowd reaction. But in terms of a star, in terms of the company and what they're doing, I think they need somebody like that. And I think if they had someone like that, I think it would help a lot. And
actually, they did have somebody like that in Hiromu Takahashi.
Yes, exactly, exactly. exactly. I said it all along, man. But they didn't listen. They decided to have Ospreay knock him out in one punch and have him act like a cat. So that they took all that away. And that's what I'm saying now. That was kind of my point on him, is that it doesn't feel like that now. with him. I don't think anybody would say that he feels the same as last year. Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, was even back in those days, was Liger and Ohtani and Kanemoto ever the number one star? No.
No.
But they were up there. They were comparable in terms of the star, you know, quality to the fans, I feel like. And they really, if you look at that time, they were almost an X factor to differentiate themselves from All Japan because they didn't have a junior division. So obviously times are a little different now with New Japan being number one by far.
Actually, Dylan, so, that is kind of unfair because New Japan has still has the top-notch best junior division in Japan. If you just look at the roster they have for this tournament here.
That's a totally different argument. I'm talking about what it means to the company. What that means to the company. I have no doubt. There's no question. If you look at these list of names, there's nobody that's a top five star, but like wrestler. I think Hiromu could be the number one person in this company in terms of pure in-ring. Dragon Lee, amazing worker. Osprey having a great year worldwide. I'm turned into corner on him. And Ishimori is a great wrestler in his own right too. So I totally agree with you there in terms of the talent. They've amassed such a great, and not only just a great lineup, but a great international lineup of talent, too. So I have no problems with the in-ring performance of any of these guys.
No.
But,
It's in New Japan, it's always going to be about the heavyweights, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think the juniors can be a crucial part, and they are a crucial part of the company, of course. But I hear you. They could do better. Let's settle at that, I think.
I think if they just had that one star that they had last year with Hiromu, when they really got behind him, I think that would make all the difference. That's all they need because, like you said, the talent's there.
Yes. Yeah, we are actually recording this on May 26th, and as I'm looking at the results right now, Tiger Mask actually has taken his first loss against Flip Gordon today. Flip Gordon now up at 6 points as well. ACH beat Yo. He is up at 4. Yo is still at 2 points. Then Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeated Taichi Ishimori. Both at 4 points right now. And in the main event of that show, Bushi defeated Will Ospreay. Bushi with his first win, Ospreay at 4 points.
That kind of makes sense because, like we said, Bushi didn't have any wins. Yeah. So even if you have a guy sometimes that's getting the short end of the stick overall, you give him that big win.
He's probably going to end at 2 wins or 3 wins in the end, but he has beaten the champion.
Exactly. So that makes his tournament, you know, worthwhile in and of itself. So I don't know what I want to see that match with Kanemaru and Ishimori, but that to me just sounds like a really bad idea, based on what I just said.
We'll probably see it and talk about it once we have the finals here. But for now, this has been it for New Japan Pro Wrestling. The two of us will be back with another show talking about All Japan and Yoshi in a few days. But until then, you can, of course, follow us on Twitter and get into interaction with us on Twitter. I'm at Strigger, STRIGGA, and Dylan is there as well.
Check me out at Dylan Zero Sky. Talk to me about all kinds of wrestling you want. And check out my other show on MLW, Lucha Talk. We just had a new episode a couple of days ago. Really great stuff. Lots of crazy news going on in Lucha. It's really heating up, too. Even AAA had a great show last week, too. So that was a big surprise.
Wow.
Going on. Yeah, AAA had a great show. LA Parks.
I heard there were lots of luchador sorpresas on these shows.
That's true, but it's funny how that happened because there weren't any big surprises by the end of it. So AAA, they had a lot of luchador surprises, no big surprises. But the opener on the show between Latigo and Toxin versus Aramis and Astrolux was a really strong, incredible match. And the main event of the CMLL show recently was the Gran Alternativa final with Flyer and Volador Jr. versus Ultimo Guerrero and Templario. Excellent, excellent match. One of the best Lucha matches of the year.
Oh, cool.
I recommend everybody watching that. And also the Trios match with the Dinamitas for Cero Sansón and Cuatrero versus Soberano, Angel de Oro, and Místico. Just a great, great match. Those two great matches. Great night of Lucha. And LA Park was a big angle, talking about LA Park and Rush as possibly an Anniversario main event. So Lucha's really heating up now, and we had a great show. So everybody check that
actually
out.
Actually sounds great. I might have to check that match out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty. So this has been it from us for now. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
the MLWRadio.com network.